Outhouse.com.au. He's come from the beach house to the outhouse. No, to the to the big house, Nick Mullen. I hope you had a lovely Christmas and New Year break.
Yeah, you too.
Because it's all over now.
Yeah, no, it is all over. It was very relaxing. 2 weeks down at sunny Inverloch, and the weather was absolutely fantastic. So do feel refreshed, although a little bit sad that the break's over. But yeah, looking to get back into the footy now, which is not far away.
Well, like everyone in football, you're tanned, you're cut, you're ready to go, and you're flying. You're looking fantastic.
Tanned? I don't know about the rest of it, but I'll take it. That's the beauty of radio, Kev, isn't it?
Trust me. Great head for radio. Just about everyone's back today.
Just about, Kev. I think it's that time that there's a few that got back early last week. I think the Pies were among some of those who had the Friday start last week. So, you know, miss out that last weekend that some of the other teams got. But, yeah, look, it's time to throw themselves back into it. And, you know, it's not long till the pre-season competition gets underway now.
It's ridiculous. We have the women starting on the Friday, the 3rd of February. And then, of course, the JLT Community Series gets underway on Thursday, the 16th of February.
Yeah, yeah.
5 weeks.
And I'm really looking forward to the women's comp, Kev. I reckon it's a perfect time of the year. I think that, you know, we're all keen for a bit of footy, probably by around Feb. You know, the Australian Open's over. I think that almost signals game on for the footy. And, you know, I think it's a new product. I think we're all really keen to see how good the girls are. And I think that at that stage, it'll be a really captive audience.
Reckon we need to have realistic expectations of how good it might be.
We saw
that game at the end of last year, which was the elite of the elite, the very cream of the crop playing, and the standard was terrific. The skill level was fantastic. Whole package was great.
Yeah, yeah.
You got to take that into consideration now that we're going to go into a competition with 8 teams, and it's going to be different. It's not going to be at that level, but nor are every one of the men's games at that.
Well, no, it's probably like the men, isn't it? I think that there's been that complaint that since there's 18 teams in the competition, it's really diluted the talent pool to an extent. We'll probably see the same with the women's, but this is the start of it, Kev. I think that I've seen having boys play at junior level in footy that the, you know, that their club has got a hell of a lot more girls teams now.
Yep.
And a lot of their friends who have probably long harboured the, you know, the interest in footy and, you know, growing up as, you know, sports mad young girls are now getting a real chance to play it, or, you know, a chance, I think, to play it in their own age group, if you like.
Yes.
They tended to probably be teams that might have been an under 15. So if you're a, you know, 10 or 11-year-old girl, if you wanted to play, you could play up to an extent with the boys. They then start to probably get a little bit on the mean side.
Yeah.
And it's time to get out of that.
Well, they had the 12 as the cutoff.
Yeah, yeah. And you could see that, because some of the boys then start to know how to use their weight a little bit more. And you don't, as a father of a daughter, I wouldn't want to see her running around with them at that point.
12-year-old boys physically get bigger. 12-year-old girls mentally get smarter.
Yes, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was probably the right age to make that cut.
But I reckon now that there just seems to be more teams, and they're able to play within their own age group.
Yeah,
I think it's fantastic. So I think that in a long-winded way, what I'm saying is I think that is we're at ground zero. Once this talent starts to filter through, they've now got that carrot that we can play at the elite level.
Yep.
And that's something really to aspire to, as opposed to, say, soccer, cricket, or whatever. The talent will, in 10 years' time, be through the roof. So in 10 years' time, to look at the standard, I think that we won't be complaining about that, you know, perhaps the fact that there's, you know, we've seen the marquee games, the actual, once we get into the longer form comp, that the talent probably doesn't stack up as well. I don't think we'll have that problem down the track.
No, I totally agree with you. Totally agree with you. I think we're in for a really entertaining competition, and we should, and it's the forerunner, it's the first one. It won't, I reckon, what are we now? The 9th of January 2017, it's not that far away that they will have a parallel competition running almost identical number of weeks and all that. It's not 10 years away. It's closer than that.
Well, I think that no one thought that this competition in its present form would happen as quickly as it has. I think that once we see the girls play and see how good they are, and we've had that snapshot of it, but some of the athleticism, Kev, I think that the women, in terms of flexibility, I think have it all over most of us. And I think it might be Taylor Harris, is it, who plays for Brisbane? I might be wrong. Someone can correct me on that. But her follow through with her kicking is...
Oh, she's the one in the photo, isn't she?
Yes. Oh, for most men, that makes you wince, doesn't it? An unnatural position for most of us.
That is the follow-through that like none other you've ever seen. I reckon it'll be a little bit like the cricket in terms of the technical ability and skill level will be... The sheer brute force isn't going to be there.
No.
And like the cricket, the technical ability and the skill level is as good as anything you'll ever see, and probably... bats a little deeper sometimes in the cricket world. So in terms of bowling and
batting.
It'd
be a different feel to the game. And I think that, you know, there's not everyone's 100% satisfied with the modern brand. I think that, you know, there are certain complaints about it. And of course, 16 aside or 16 on the ground at one stage. So I think that'll be interesting to see what effect that has on congestion and whether it's a more open and free-flowing game, which I think we'd all like to see.
Which is exactly what we're changing rules to try and make happen
in
the men's game.
Exactly. And if that works, don't be surprised if, you know, we've seen it happen in the VFA previously.
Yeah.
It's not something out of the realms.
Would you like to see 16 aside?
Well, I reckon I'm not wedded to the concept, but I think that
it actually stops that congestion that you is the ugly congestion.
It's something. If we went down the path of we really do need a rule change, if we came to that conclusion, it's probably I'd rather see that than zones, because I think that you're probably I think you're preserving the inherent nature of the game a little bit better than if you're sort of saying, okay, well, X amount of people have to be in, say, the forward 50 at a stoppage or whatever. I think that's. That really dilutes the traditions of the game and what's made the game great.
I want to see someone come. I want to see Brad Hardy run out of the back pocket and run down the ground and kick a goal.
Yeah, I do too. Exactly right. And I think people, the beauty of AFL is you can come from anywhere. You can come from any sort of angle, and you've got to almost have eyes in the back of your head. And it's those special players who have that heightened lateral or peripheral vision who really are so great. And I think if you take that out of the game, The innate footballers that we've grown to love will probably lose that sort of inherent advantage a little bit, which I don't think we want.
I agree. Totally agree. Now, off the SMS earlier, Jonty sent one through. Wants to know, Nick, who you would give the St Kilda captaincy to and why would you do that?
Yeah, it's a really hard one, isn't it? I think that they face a choice probably between natural leaders like Jaron Geary. I know they really, really rate him massively highly. Yeah. And even Mav Weller, who's a more recent addition to the list of really naturally great leaders. Or someone who's probably their best player now, Jack Stephen, who I think's a quieter sort of fellow, but by his on-field deeds, you know, do as I do, probably warrants the captaincy. So I think, I reckon Stephen will get it. Mm. Perhaps with Geary as a vice-captain, maybe Mav Weller as well. The other guys, well, David Armitage is a possibility too, but I would have thought Stephen's just been much more consistent or more consistent over the last few years.
You'll probably remember this, and I'm sure St Kilda supporters will. Was Nick chosen as when Nick was picked, Nick Riewoldt, obviously? Mm. Was he chosen while there were those kind of players? Was it a similar sort of situation when he was chosen to be captain?
He was, I reckon, the what confuses...
Because Cossie was around there.
I reckon what confuses the issue with St Kilda is we had the Grant Thomas era where there was the rotating captaincy. So Nick had a go at that, I think, during that period. Luke Ball, I think, Aaron Hamill, all of those guys have had a go. So I think when Nick took over the role in his own right, I reckon by that stage he would have been a bona fide, you know, star.
Yeah.
And a natural sort of leader. So I think he would have been a standout by that point. But it had a taste of the job while under that rotational policy with Grant Thomas.
Someone just told me Brett Hardy's about 55 years old. That's a very good guess. That's about exactly what Brett Hardy would be, I would think. You know what I mean. I was talking about a back pocket player running through the middle of the ground, going up and kicking a goal. I just picked his name out of my head because I'd sent him a text message before. A little bit of cricket news. Steve O'Keefe apparently has been pulled out of the BBL by Cricket Australia so as he can focus on the Indian tour. Clearly he's going.
It's a pretty good sign, isn't it?
Didn't know they'd picked the Indian touring team yet, but apparently they've told Mr. O'Keefe, don't play Big Bash.
I don't think Shane Warne will be overly happy with that, listening to his comments during the Sydney test.
No, he wants a leggy in the
He does. I think he just thinks that O'Keefe's solid, but more a one-day bowler, probably doesn't do enough with the ball. And
yeah, I'd agree with that.
I think it's, I reckon that we could be a bit more adventurous. The adventurous selections we had this summer with the younger blokes worked really well. So why don't we follow through that with the spinners as well?
Good point.
Yep.
Nick Barn from AFL.com.au and cricket.com.au. No.
That's not. What are
you hearing? What are the early sort of whispers coming through from some of the camps that have returned to full practice?
Well, I think some good news out of West Coast, and as we said off air before, Kev, it doesn't take much to get people excited when you mention the name Nick Nat, but he's been out training today. He's doing a little bit of very light running. We should emphasise that it's not anything to get overly excited about. I think he's still a fair chance to miss the entire season, you know, if the Eagles take that really conservative approach. But he's been doing some training, a little bit of short and sharp steps as well, so not just running and a bit of straight line running as well. So Eagles just want to see a little bit of Nick Nat out in the track, and he's given them that today.
The whole season?
Well,
you reckon if they're sitting in the top six come 4 or 5 weeks out from the finals, that they don't sort of...
Well, that would be around about... He'd be getting up towards what I reckon 11 months on the sidelines then, wouldn't he?
Yep.
So I think that's about right. Now, we know that individual rehabilitations are, you know, go run to vastly different scripts sometimes, but I don't think they'll take any risks. I think Adam Simpson knows that, you know, Nick Nat is such a long-term asset for them, and I think that's part of the reason probably why they've got guys like Drew Petrie in this year.
Yep.
Nathan Vardy, probably a longer-term sort of proposition, but, you know, you've got those guys, you've got Jonathan Giles as well. They're not Nick Nat, we know that, and, you know, hopefully Scott Lysett, who's got the PCL, there's some fairly big question marks on him as well, okay. Kev, but if he can get back up and running and get back into a bit of form, take the number one mantle, then if I'm the Eagles, I'm not risking Nick Nat, but if he is fit and if the doctors give him the clearance late in the season and you're a top four chance or you're looking top four...
He could win him a flag.
Well, I think you roll the dice, don't you?
Yeah.
As long as you've got the medical clearance. I don't think there's any point to hold him back. You're going to want to probably play him a couple of games in the waffle, I would have thought. But if all of that, if everything like that falls into place, if you're not just bringing him straight back into the seniors, why not?
And do you see him at this stage? Have you got him as one of your top six?
Oh, look, I do. I think that they were disappointing this year, weren't they? I think that they seemed to get their act together late in the piece and then, you know, had a great win over the Crows from memory in round 23 and just everything seemed to be fine. And maybe they're probably one of those teams who that finals bye didn't. So, you know, they lost a little bit of momentum. But, because I certainly had them as heavy favourites against the Doggies in that... the final over in Perth.
Ah, did you?
Yeah, I did.
thought they were going to win it too. If you know, I hoped.
Yeah.
But I didn't think I wasn't by any way confident.
No.
About it.
But you look at Sam Mitchell. I think that if he can produce anything close to what he has done in the past few seasons, and I don't think there's any reason why we should doubt that. I think that he's been so good that as he's got older. As long as the body doesn't start to give him problems, I think he's a massive addition. Takes a bit of the load off Pritis.
Yep.
In the middle, frees up guys like Luke Shuey. You know, you look at Subiaco for an older player; it probably doesn't ideally suit him. But I reckon they've got the runners to sort of cover for that, as Hawthorn sort of did as well. So, guys like Andrew Gaff do that sort of power of running. So it doesn't probably
allow him to play his game.
Play his game and play to his strengths. And I think sometimes, Kev, we all get wrapped up in what people can't do, but what about what they can do?
Yeah.
And what Sam Mitchell does, he's clearly one of the best in the comp. So they get him going well, and I think Lysett's probably important. If they can get him back within the first, say, I think that these really touch probably unlikely for the early rounds of the season.
Yep.
But say if he only misses the first month and gets back to some pretty good form, that's pretty important. Yeah. So.
All right. Nick Barnes in the studio with me from AFL.com.au. We're talking footy till 3 o'clock. John's in Caulfield. Thanks for calling, John.
Yeah, good afternoon, guys. Nick, look, I'm a Saints supporter, and I was quite pleased to hear over the weekend how Nathan Freeman's tracking at the moment. Sounds like everything's progressing according to plan with him. I think he's going to be very integral as far as the Saints... improving in you know, during the course of this year, especially with his outside run. And I was just wondering if you had any vibe at all on him, how things are going to look long term for him, and just generally your thoughts on the Saints.
Well, John, no, look, I agree with you with Freeman. I think he could be, you know, really add an extra dimension to the Saints midfield. And, you know, when he got back last year, I think one of the games in the VFL, he had something like 40, high 40 possessions, you know, within, it might have even been three quarters. He's a real talent. But as you mentioned, it's just been those persistent hamstring problems. I think the Saints are pretty happy, as I understand, John, with where he's at now. And he's come back and been really impressive in a time trial. But historically, the problem's been when he's... I suppose, got up to preparing for a game, got into some of that shorter, sharper sort of work, the skills work when the hamstrings have started to have some problems with them. So I think we're probably not going to know exactly how he's tracking until earlier in the season, but we want to see him, obviously, I think, get into the pre-season competition, play a couple of games there and just get some continuity. I think that's the big thing for him. And if he can do that, then I think he'll add a real new dimension to the Saints.
Are you at the school that there's no point cotton-wooling some people, that you actually just have to say, well, look, go out and do it, and if they do it, if they injure themselves, you just have to cop it sometimes?
Yeah, well, I think that we've got such a sports science mentality now, don't we, in terms of, you know, monitoring guys.
Is that a good or a bad thing, Nick? Off-air, we've just decided it's not... It has its moments.
I think it's good within certain parameters, isn't it? I think that we need to use it, but not get let that be the ultimate judge.
Nick Natanui's different to Nathan Freeman, I would have
correct,
thought.
Correct, yeah.
In terms of the whole way you go about it.
Oh, exactly right. Exactly right. I think, look, the Saints have taken a really softly approach with Nathan Freeman so far. He didn't get onto the park last year, but I think that they'd be really looking to ramp things up this year and just seeing what he can take. But it's... You know, it's an important year for him. I think that if he's going to keep having these persistent hamstring problems, you start to wonder, well, what's wrong? Is there something structurally that's causing these things?
Yep.
Now, the Saints have gone through all of that stuff. He's been overseas. He's been assessed for those sort of things. So I think that they've left no stone unturned. But really, I think up until he gets onto the park and plays continuous matches, then you really can't say with any, I think, certainty that he's really turned the corner.
But we've watched, you know, our teams play, and we know there's blokes over the years. They're blokes with dodgy hammies. I don't know that you need to be a medical... See, sometimes for me, I don't know, and I'm probably wrong here in many ways, but you've got to be individualistic about the way you look at it. And sometimes some people's bodies just aren't up to doing what you want them to do.
Yeah, well, the interesting thing with Nathan is that he had no injury problems, as I understand it, or very few as a junior. There was none of this hamstring sort of problem. So that's the frustrating thing, I think, for clubs, is that, you know, the Saints, as opposed to Collingwood, when they got Nathan on board, they knew that he had these problems and they knew they had to work through them.
Yep.
So that was the risk they took. And I think it was a risk that you know, I think a lot of clubs would have taken because, as John alluded to, he's a really promising talent. If he can get up and play... He is that outside midfielder. He's quick. You know, he can win a fair bit of the ball. That just gives their attack, that or their midfield rather, that just more menacing edge. But it was always going to be a risk. But certainly at this stage, you know, I think the Saints they're pretty comfortable with where he's at.
A similar sort of scenario in many ways, I guess, to the risk that Hawthorn have taken.
Yeah, well, look, to be honest with you,
I
reckon that's a more significant risk for mine. I think it's... The patella tendon, a ruptured patella tendon, is a really, really rare one. And we've seen, there's not much evidence of it in AFL. And we had Gary Buchanan way back in 83, who made a pretty successful comeback. But I think that perhaps wasn't quite the player, not perhaps as explosive as he was earlier in his career.
Yep.
Michael Long's another one sort of towards the end of his career. And after he did his, he only played 16 of a possible, I think, last 64 games. So, and Chris Knight's...
Jeez.
Obviously, you know, he was injury prone as it was, but that effectively, I think, was the, you know, I suppose the
full
stop. You're
sounding pessimistic about the chances of him.
It's not, look, without any inside knowledge, Kev, it's just an injury that I really don't like the sound of. But the Hawks are confident. I think that the beauty of it is that Jake is a young guy, I think 22, 23.
Yep.
So he's got all that on his side, but he's had 2 years where he's played hardly anything. He's played a handful of partial games in the knee fall at the end of last year and then gone in again for minor knee surgery. Now, in fairness to him, he was probably, I think, by that stage starting to look ahead to what's best for him for 2017. So that's not necessarily a hugely worrying sign. But again, you'd love to have seen him once he got back have a play a string of games in a row, and I'm sure that he was itching to get back and play senior footy. I'm sure the Suns were itching to get him back at that stage and have him play senior footy. But again, well, he's potentially an even better player than Freeman, Kev. I think that speaking to people around the around other clubs, they rate him as a potential top five player in the competition.
He could be the story of 2017, couldn't he? If Hawthorn get it right, they will be seen to be geniuses and medical geniuses as well, and that will be one of the great stories of the year.
Well, in his first year, Tim Watson said that he thought he was on track to be or could be the best player in the competition in time.
It's a big statement.
It's a massive statement, but I think that that's that and whether that proved right or wrong, I think that was just a fair pointer to the potential that he had and the attributes that he had. Like, he won his ball on the inside, but he could take off from stoppages and kill you with his pace. And he was really explosive and, you know, and could kick goals.
Does he come back and do that this year? Or
Who knows? Yeah. That's the uncertainty around it. And I think, you know, the Hawks are probably one of the few clubs that you'd, if I was a Hawks supporter, I'd be happy with it, because I think that where they're at, if it comes off, and they've obviously got Tom Mitchell in as well, what rebuild? You know, it's almost that thing that they could almost keep on keeping on, because they've got, okay, you lose Mitchell and Lewis, but you've got too much younger guys who could potentially fill those roles. You know, and you're not really noticing too much of a loss.
They have an amazing ability to make those things work for them too, don't they? They have a really good track record.
It's funny, and I know that with a lot of these things around trade time or whatever, when you hear rumblings about someone wanting out, I heard he was linked to Hawthorn pretty early and very strongly, and there was that sense, someone said to me, they just reckon they can get him right. And so that they were, I think, comfortable enough that they could offer him the salary that he needed, and offer up a reasonable enough trade that was going to satisfy the Suns. Because I think other clubs had reservations. You know, thought we can't mortgage the our future for a guy who may not play much more. But the Hawks were very, very confident they could get him right with their medical team.
Yeah, it will be an interesting one how that plays out. Off the SMS, Dominic wants to know, who are the boys who will make the jump from Werribee into the North Melbourne's best 22 for 2017.
Yeah, I am very confident with Ed Vickers-Willis. Now, he's probably not someone that people have pumped up that much, but he's about 190, so he's a defender. I just reckon that if he can string some good games together in the pre-season, he's just the perfect replacement for Michael Freto.
Yep.
And I think the Roos will go down that path more so than... I think Lachie Hansen's going to struggle for game time this year. I think that they seem to be committed to Scott Thompson and Robbie Tarrant in the key positions. And obviously Ferrito was that mid-sized guy who could play on the tools at a pinch. And I think Ed's that similar sort of type of player who offers a bit of rebound as well. So I'm pretty... I think he will. I think Ryan Clark obviously got a taste of senior footy towards the end of last year. I think he will. But I'd be surprised if the Roos recycled guys, Kev, as well, didn't get a pretty good chance early on, like Marley Williams and Nathan Rovat, those sort of blokes. I think that they'll get a fair crack at it.
Durden's another name that's been thrown up a lot. Played a lot of footy last year.
Yeah, I reckon he's got a way to go, Kev, as I understand it. I think that North are really heartened by his athletic ability, but I think he's just got to win a bit more of the ball and perhaps develop a bit more of a competitive edge to his game, if you wanted to be critical.
And the other one is McKay.
Yeah, look, again, he's a lump of a lad. He's 200 centimetres or thereabouts, but he's still got that sort of gangly look about a young colt at this stage. Yeah. So I would have thought, given that the Roos, they're pretty well stocked for the talls with Waite. If Waite stays fit, if Ben Brown stays fit, Magak's going to probably play a few games, and you're looking to fit in. I'm having a blank here anyway, but Mason Wood as well.
Yep.
So they're pretty tall. I would have thought it's another year for Ben just to develop in the VFL, and perhaps later on, depending on how North's year's going, he gets a taste of AFL then. But I don't think there's any reason to panic as North supporters if he spends most of the year in the VFL. But I know North are very, very happy with his development, and he is a real competitor.
Nick Bowen is in the studio with us. Let's talk to Ned in Adelaide. G'day, Ned.
G'day, guys. How are you going?
Good.
Wanted to talk about Geelong. It seems to be a pretty hard side. They're my side, but a hard side to get a read on for next year. The talk from the club last year that they were always going to be better this year, a year after integrating all those new players. Plus, I guess you can throw in long-term injury players who finally had a
trouble picking you up there, Ned, but to give us your summation on Geelong.
Yeah, the Cats are a really interesting one for mine, Kev. I mean, they obviously, you know, a year or so ago went so hard with the recruiting drive, didn't they? Went Selwood, and they've really gone effectively the last 2 years without early draft picks because of that.
Yep.
Their best is great. It's really good. And that depends on, I think, Dangerfield and Joel Selwood being up and about. I still think they'll be a top six team, perhaps better. But I just don't know that they're going to have the depth of talent if the Dogs keep improving, and particularly if GWS keep improving, to really trouble those teams. But there's no reason they couldn't be top four. But I just think that they've got... Their strengths are fantastic, but I think they've got just
What's
a few deficiencies.
What's their Achilles heel?
Well, I think it's a bit of depth, and, you know, perhaps in attack now that who support Hawkins in the air, you know, do they push someone like Harry Taylor down there to try and sort of help him out? And bearing in mind as well, Kev, they've let Shane Kirsten go to Freo.
Yeah,
they've let Nathan Vardy go, who admittedly was very injury prone in his time, but had some real talent. So I think that they'd be disappointed if those guys really step up and show a lot elsewhere, because I think that they really do need a little bit more presence in attack, certainly.
Todd's in South Caulfield. Have a chat to Nick Bowen, who's with me from afl.com.au. G'day, Todd.
G'day, how are you?
Good, thanks.
Yeah, just wondered. I'm a pretty pessimistic sort of negative Carlton supporter at the moment, and after just our little purple patch we had last year and losing so many players, is there any light for us?
Oh, look, I think there is, Luke. I think that, you know, in some ways, from memory, 7 wins last year, I think, was probably, you know, well above what most people would have expected. And I think that this year's again a get-back consolidation. I think that the last 2 draft periods for the club have been very, very good. I think getting Caleb Marchbank in last year's trade period was a really good pick-up as well. So it's just it's going to be a slow process, but I think that what the Blues have been about this time around is no shortcuts.
Yep.
And I think that just basically means that it will take a little while, but I think that I really like what the club's doing. You know, there's the prospect of Jacob Wiedering and Caleb Marchbank playing together over the next decade and forming a really, really strong spine defensively. The Giants did not want Marchbank to go. He's a real talent.
That's a big call, isn't it?
Yeah,
no,
they didn't want him to go. They saw a real future for him down there. He's had some shoulder problems, but I think that, you know, nothing really, you know, this is probably more of a one-off thing. So if he can get that right, there's no reason, and I think he's tracking pretty well, no reason why he can't play some decent sort of senior footy this year. So it's just going to take, a while. That their list was in a horrible state when Stephen Silvani got back to the club. You know, he's done things around the edges to make them more competitive in the short term, like some of the big trades with GWS, which I think have been really good. But if you want to be, I think, a long-term genuine contender, the only real way I think to do that is by and large through the draft.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's what they've done. They did the forwards last year mainly. So you look to see guys like Harry Mackay play a little bit more this year, Charlie Curnow play a bit. We saw, you know, I think Jack Silvani, a real bonus as a father-son. So, no, Todd, I think long-term the prospects are really good. But I think that this year, you know, the Blues might say have 4 or 5 wins, but it might end up being a better year than last year if they're more consistent and if you're getting more games into these guys. So don't drop off. I think that they're going to be good, but you're going to have to be patient for a little while longer yet.
Todd, don't be so pessimistic. This time of the year, we're all happy. No wins, no losses. Everyone's flying.
Okay.
All right. he doesn't sound convinced, no, Todd. No. He doesn't sound convinced at all. Chris is in Campbell. Hi, Chris.
I wanted to address, firstly, too, you've had a lot to do with Werribee over the years. You would have seen Tim Smith for Casey. I think he could be the shock of the year, particularly at Melbourne. I think he'll play centre-half forward and Hogan go to full forward. I want both in your opinions on Tim Smith. I've been amazed he hasn't been picked up before. He's 26. He's got experience that Melbourne's lacked on that forward line. It would help Hogan and Wiedemann and take pressure off them and Jack Watts. I really think he's a big chance for Melbourne to play straight away on the forward line.
All right. Good on you, Chris.
Yeah, well, it'll be interesting. I think a lot will depend on his pre-season. I think that the probably the longer-term prospect that the D's are really looking at is young Wiedemann. I think that for him to sort of get down there and form that partnership with Hogan and Watts.
Who are the rookies most likely to play 10 AFL senior games this season? Oh, that's a piece of string, that question. Crikey.com. Let's wait and see who. We'll put that one in. We'll park that one over in our parking bay.
Yeah, need a bit of thinking time for that one, Kev.
The Louis in Grovedale says the Dogs can't beat Geelong. When they beat them, let me know. Is right. That's the Doggies' nemesis team.
Well, you know, if they avoid them through the finals, it doesn't really matter, does it?
Well, good point. Write that one down too. Yeah. Who drops out of the eight to make way for Frio, Melbourne, the Tigers, and the Saints?
Well, geez, I don't know that anyone's going to need to make way for Frio, to be perfectly honest. I don't think they'll make the eight, and I think there's a big scope for improvement. But
I don't see either of those four making the eight.
Who are the other ones?
Frio, Melbourne.
Oh, I think Melbourne could.
Could. Tigers could.
No, I don't think the Tigers will make it.
Saints could, but I don't
Saints
think
so. Saints and Melbourne out of that group, I'd be most bullish about. I think
you have Carlton in your eight at this
stage. No. Okay. I think North will probably finish outside the eight.
That's the one that.
Yeah, I think North will finish outside the eight. I wouldn't be surprised looking at last year's eight now. That I mean, I reckon the Eagles make it. I reckon the Dogs make it. Crows probably. Giants definitely. Hawthorn, Geelong. I mean, I think Geelong probably make it. Hawthorn will be interesting.
So Geelong.
Yeah, they know how to win though, and then they've got the Swans. The Swans will make it.
Too much past history, and I know I'm absolutely guilty of it, of thinking when you sit down and do your eight, how could I leave Hawthorn and Geelong out?
I've
just mentioned that they beat Geelong beat the Doggies every time.
Yep.
Hawthorn have been perennially up there all the time.
Well, with Hawthorn, you look at their defence now, and I think that they've started to, you know, if Josh Gibson falls off, if his late season slide continues. They look pretty vulnerable down back. There'll be a lot of work for James Frawley to do.
Yep.
And, you know, if we see Lewis and Mitchell going out, as we previously mentioned, Tom Mitchell should, you know, there's no reason why he won't have a very consistent season. But if they don't get, if Jager O'Meara, for whatever reason, struggles with his body or really doesn't get much on the park, then all of a sudden they've got a fairly decent hole in the midfield. And as a team that has really probably struggled with contested ball, admittedly, perhaps haven't had the same focus on that as other teams.
Yep.
Haven't been a strong clearance team. Geez, those two guys going out make a big difference. It wouldn't surprise me if they slid out of the eight if a few things went wrong.
Hawthorn out of the eight.
Yep.
Yeah. See, that's what I mean. I say it like that because it's so foreign to everything that you think about.
Yeah, it is, and I think that you're right. I think we probably look at too many teams from the previous year as being locks. You know, but I think that it's hard to see teams like the Crows and the Eagles falling outside the eight. They could. I mean, you know, perhaps we're making too much of a lock of them. But the two that I would bet a vital organ on would be the Giants and the
Doggies.
Have you
got Port Adelaide? Do you rate them a chance? No.
Oh, they're a chance. They're a chance. But I reckon, Kev, that they've.
Have you? So you've subscribed to the theory that Brisbane you don't even talk about.
Don't talk about Brisbane.
No.
And I think I'll put Carlton in the same boat. And that's not any criticism of either team. Just probably an accurate reflection, I think, of where they're at. I don't reckon the Bombers will make it either. I think there's probably. I think they're going to be a vastly improved team.
Oh, really?
Possibly. Look, I reckon. Okay. I think that their backline's pretty good. If Stephen May and the big fella Rory Thompson stay upright, I think Tom Lynch, their key man up forward, I'd have him over almost any other key forward in the league.
He's very good.
An absolute star.
Yeah, he's very good, but they've got to get the ball to him.
They do. But if they can get a full season out of Gazza, and, you know...
That's a bloody giant proviso,
Nick. I know. But I'm just saying I can see them making the eight. I'm not bullish about them making the eight, but I can see them making the eight.
Yeah, no, I know.
I reckon they've got much more scope to make the eight than the Power or Richmond, personally.
Oh, okay. Well, that's another argument, isn't it? Richmond have no hope of making the eight, won't get out of the bottom six. And also off the SMS, North to finish bottom four. Well, you've said that North
will
slip out.
Well, they could slide. I mean, I think that I still think they've got a reasonable core, Kev, that'll keep them competitive. I mean, Goldstein, Zeeble, Cunnington, Andrew Swallow in the midfield.
Yep.
You know, they've got a reasonable spine up forward, and they're not the worst down back, so... But look, yeah, I can understand why people think they might slide. They've certainly gone a lot younger. Richmond, the interesting thing for them is how much does Prestia improve them? How much does Josh Caddy give, say, Cochin and Martin a chop out in the midfield? That could really give them a bit of a spike. And look, there's certainly a chance to make the eight, but I just think that they're, I reckon, talent-wise, if you look at their list...
How much they missed Delidio?
Fair bit. I reckon he's an absolute superstar. And I reckon he's one of their best, probably their, you know, when he was on the park, you know, almost of the same importance as Dustin Martin.
Wow.
In a different way. Probably not quite the same, but I think that he... And you only have to look at the Tigers' record over recent years, Kev, when he hasn't been in the team.
Yep.
He's a star. So they get stronger with those ones, but I just think that you look around the team or over the list and there's just not a great depth of talent.
There's nothing jumping out telling you we're going to be a top.
Well, you need
side.
Ben Griffiths to have a good year. And look, he's a handy player, but yep. Is he going to be the number two banana or a really effective number two banana behind Jack Rewater up forward? I'm not sure.
Off the SMS saying we haven't mentioned Essendon. Well, we have mentioned them, but we haven't gone into depth. We've only got an hour here. I reckon they're a chance.
Oh, they are. You certainly wouldn't write them off.
They're the wild card of the
competition.
Well,
the great unknown is how do these guys return after a year off? I mean, I can't see any reason why they wouldn't hit the ground running pretty well. I mean, none of them are coming back from injuries.
Yep.
So they've had a year to freshen up the body, probably in Job Watson's case and his mind. We forget how good a player he was. And there's no reason why he can't get back to it. Dyson Heppel's a fantastic player. You look at Hurley down back, Hooker, who I think they're talking about playing more up forward. And they've also found a few players, Kev, I think, over the last year as well, which they wouldn't have necessarily had the games into them. Exactly right, yeah. So, look, they will be in the mix.
Yeah, I think they will be too, somewhere. Yep. I think they're the wild card one. They're the one where you can't quantify it, but you think there's no reason not to say that they won't be.
I think that there's some people who are really, really almost just think it's almost a given that they make the eight, given that the influx of talent back in there. But I'd be a bit cautious about that. I think that there's certainly been a sense that I had that while they were competitive last year, there were some teams who were using those games to trial out a few different tactics. So they perhaps, they weren't taking them lightly, but they perhaps weren't approaching it like they would have other games. So
I don't think they're a gimme. I don't think they're a Monty to make.
No, I don't either. If I was betting on it, I wouldn't. I think when I fashion my eight, I don't think I'll have them in there.
Keep in mind, the Premier's was seventh last year, so the eight is going to be hotly contested.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, in all honesty, GWS definitely got them in the eight. And I've obviously got the Doggies in the eight. But after that, I'm open to suggestion and conjecture.
Yeah. Well, the top seven, I think, had a three-game break on eighth because North obviously fell off the cliff late in the season. So those teams were well and truly ahead of North. I think that perhaps, St Kilda and Melbourne towards the end of the year looked as though they'd sort of gone ahead of North as well, although Melbourne had a pretty disappointing finish given they had the chance to really push hard late to take that eighth spot off North.
It'll be interesting, very interesting, and it's only 5 weeks away to the pre-season comp.
Those time capsules always embarrass us, Kev, towards the end of the year, don't they?
You must dread doing those.
Well, no, they're a bit of fun. A bit of fun. You take them in the right spirit, and I think that we all know that we'll have egg on our face to a certain extent. If you get a couple of them right, I prefer to take that approach. Like I was pretty bullish about the Swans last year at that time.
Okay.
A lot of other people weren't, but I won't go into the other things. Just focus on the things you get right.
Did you get the wooden spooners right? That's the one I reckon. Sometimes that can be the easiest pick of the year.
No, I don't think I would have. I think I would have probably had Carlton at that stage. So, no, across there as well.
It's a raffle to pick a Brownlow medalist. That's the hardest thing. I don't know. You'd put Jim Smith down.
Yeah, I think the reigning. I'd love to see how many people go with a reigning Brownlow medalist. And there would have been a hell of a lot of people with Nat Fyfe. I think I went with Josh Kennedy from the Swans last year. So, yeah.
All right. Thank you, Nick, for coming in.
Pleasure, Kev.
Appreciate it. And all the news, of course, from all the pre-season training, all there on afl.com.au.
Back into it as of tomorrow.
Back
into earning an honest living. Something approaching that anyway.
Thanks, Nick. Nick Bowen from afl.com.au.